The love I have for the people at Other Ocean this morning. My heart is swelling.
Yeah, y'all should have been all movies, all I heard.
He said, does somebody do X for the show? No, I do. I do. Nestle Pure Life Water. And I'm still dancing. I had some tea too. Stop. Get out of my cabinet, Ginger.
And cough drops.
Our Ginger is sick, but I'm providing her perky backup as opposed to her.
Yay! I mean, I feel good. I feel good. I just sound ridiculous. I
think you sound hot.
Aww.
Because we love you. So, is it time? Can I do it?
It's time. Do it.
All right. As I promised the lovely gentleman over at Other Ocean, good morning, guys. Guys, let me just tell you guys, I love you over there now. You are on my list, my top of my favorites list. As you all who are on my Xbox list saw that I've been playing War of the Worlds, and it is hard not to say anything when a game is good, to not say a word. But, you know, we have the whole gag order thing, which we, you know, sometimes we like being gagged, but this is one of those instances I wanted to say something and I couldn't. Oh, it was delicious. Okay, so you guys know War of the Worlds. You know the story. The aliens come. We fight. Will Smith does something. I don't know. Well, it should be known by a lot of you out there that Independence Day is just basically another take on War of the Worlds. It was inspired by War of the Worlds. And then you have the Tom Cruise one, which came out a few years ago. You have the original movie back in the, was it 50s or 60s? And then, of course, you have the actual story written by H.G. Wells.
Yeah.
And when they first sent this over to us months ago, I went, oh, God. Remember we were saying on the news, oh, God, not another one. This is going to suck. And then they sent us the video, and then you started hearing us gush. And I'm telling you, not disappointed at all. Not in the least disappointed. My only disappointment is that I had to stop playing it because I had to go to sleep so that we could get up and do the news for you guys this morning. Fantastic game.
Is it?
Yes, and scary. Just like you thought it would be.
That's why we'll play it. Nope.
This is definitely, they picked the perfect timing. If you're looking for something to play Halloween, because if you're like I am, I'm staying in. I'm not doing the candy, doing some Halloween things inside the house. I now, suddenly, it always becomes a party at my house. What is it with my family when they hear I'm not going anywhere and I'm doing stuff in the house? They're like, oh, well, I'll come over.
No, I don't know. That's a good point. That's a good thing about why I don't live close to anybody.
Mm-hmm. But this will learn them, because when I put this War of the Worlds on the TV, everybody's leaving because, oh, yes.
Is it that scary?
It's not that it's that scary. I can't even explain in words. You guys are going to have to play this one. It's only $10, 800 Microsoft points. And this is one of the things that actually scares me. We were talking about things that scare us that they'd never put in games. This is one of the things that actually really scares me. I'm not scared of zombies. If a zombie outbreak comes, I know exactly what to do. Head. Heads coming off. The zombies were fine. Aliens, you know, we don't know. What are their weaknesses type of thing?
This is true. This is true. What is their weakness? I mean, how do we kill them?
Yeah, you know, what's their motivation? Do they want to eat me? Do they just want my bottle of water?
Oh,
what is it that they want?
Take my water. Don't carry me.
But it's the whole
thing. I need that for the cuteness making.
Right? And the whole thing is an exercise in panic and run. Just run. And the fact that it's a 2D side scroller and all the things that they put in, the things that they've done, just makes it all the more amazing. I'm trying not to give away anything. And if you'll notice, when we write reviews at Game & Anxious, we try very hard not to give away anything in the game. But I'm going to tell you this much. There's a one scene. Okay, let me back up, because see, I'm trying not to gush.
Gush. We love it.
Unlike the original movie where the tripods were small, they grabbed the ones from the new movie, the giant ones.
Ooh.
So in the background, I'm seeing them walking, and, you know, I love to look at the textures and level design. So, of course, I stop running to look like, oh, wow, that is effing awesome. And then, of course, something starts chasing me.
Oh, crap, my bad.
So, but yeah, but I'm thinking, because I'm one of the people who played Flashback, which this game is inspired by, I'm thinking, okay, it's back there, it's fine, it can't bother me, it's just in the background, it's beautiful. But you guys have to remember, this is not Flashback if you've ever played it. These things can come up to you from the background. And it did at one point. I got to the top of a building, and one of those things walked right up to me, and then it was a run! Run, Corey, run.
That
was awesome. There was never a moment where I was dull, you know, just bored or didn't have to run or have to think quickly. I like those games that keep you on your toes. You know, I don't have time to stop and always think about things. So excellent job over at Other Ocean. I think you got a hit on your hands. If you didn't give this to us, I probably was going to be buying it anyway. Congratulations, guys.
That sounds so awesome. I can't even do my words.
Now, if you guys are not understanding my question, feel free to drop by the site and check out the review. We don't give grades here. We just tell you if you like it or if we don't. So, yeah, because grades and scores and all that crap means nothing. I could give it a 10, but what does it really mean if I'm not telling you if I really like it? And we're not paid endorsements, because, honestly, if it sucked, I don't care if they did give it to us. I'd be like, this is a sucky game. Don't get it.
We've done that before. People give us stuff and we're like, oh, no. No.
Don't waste your time. But I'm telling you, good game. Good for $10.
Yes.
Can't wait to see what else they do.
Awesome.
Now we got to do some news. Let me stop gushing.
All right. I got... Oh, UPS3 owners? Man, y'all are just not... No. Y'all are getting spanked this year. Not even...
You know what? I'm not even going to ask why the spanking and gags and stuff always come into our conversation.
Yeah.
We got the issues.
Yes, we do.
So tell us, what's going on with these people?
Well, I'm pulling the story from GamePolitics.com this morning. Battlefield 3 PS3 owners don't get the promised freebie. I told you PS3 owners, just y'all are getting abused. While many customers would have pre-ordered the PlayStation 3 version anyway, back in June of this year, EA promised that it would include a full version of Battlefield 1943 on the disc as an added incentive to buy it. Yesterday, early adopters of the PS3 version figured out that EA broke its promise because the game was not actually on the disc. To add insult to injury, EA made no excuses about the fact, nor did they offer an apology to customers. All right, so what did the company have to say for themselves? Sony's E3 press conference is currently underway, and we're present with some great seats in this huge auditorium with thousands of people. Sony just announced that several EA games, including Need for Speed, The Run, SSX, and Battlefield 3, will have exclusive content on the PlayStation 3. Oh, I'm sorry, this came from June 7th from the Battlefield blog. For Battlefield 3, the exclusive content will be a copy of the downloadable Battlefield game, Battlefield 1943. If you're wondering whether to get Battlefield 3 on PS3 or Xbox 360, the PS3 version just got a lot more interesting. To make up for it, EA says it will instead offer downloadable content early on the PlayStation Network, something it already said it would do anyway. They said in lieu of the 1943 being available on disc for PS3 customers, EA has made all BF3 expansions available early to PS3 customers. This is coming from the EA Twitter. The writer goes on to say, I'm sure that the fans are delighted to hear that, but you can't advertise something and then not deliver.
Damn straight.
We hope EA will make this right and give those customers that were promised Battlefield 1943 a code to download it for free. I wouldn't hold my breath because EA is kind of the devil.
I'm going to be quiet.
They're the devil. And why?
No, no, be specific. EA USA.
EA USA is the devil. There we go. EA USA is the devil. And why? Oh, my God, why was I playing Sims Social until 3 a.m.? I was logged out every other game, and I'm on Facebook playing Sims Social.
The road to hell is paved with Sims.
I'm mad at my I mean, you know I'm addicted to Sega Love. I'm addicted to a lot of games, and I was signed out of all the rest of them, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm playing Sims Social.
I'm sorry. Poor baby.
I was like, what am I doing?
Building your couch. Did you get your couch built? Did you get your extra room built?
I got my little extra room built. I still need a couple of things for my shelf and my couch.
Y'all hear that? Send Ginger her stuff for her couch. I'm not going back. You can't get me back.
Send me stuff, Corey. Send it to me.
Oh, man. Ginger.
Send it to me.
No, I have escaped. I'm not going back.
Okay.
All right. No.
Corey, I need plans, Corey. Send me stuff.
No, there's aliens that need killing. Okay, so look. According to GI.biz this morning, Garriott awarded $32 million in the NCSoft contract dispute. Well, the fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld the judgment that Korean publisher NCSoft should pay Ultima creator Richard Garriott $32 million for a breach of contract. This amount includes $28 million awarded by the jury in July of last year, 2010, as well as interest and attorney fees. It was the largest verdict of its kind in Texas last year. You know, we do it up big here. Garriott left NCSoft in November 2008 following a pre-agreed leave of absence to visit the International Space Station. You guys remember all this. This was going on with Tabula Rasa. Yeah, and you're supposed to win something to take your DNA on the ship with him. I don't remember what all happened, but I believe it was the downfall of Tabula Rasa at the end of the day. Garriott's stock options expired 90 days after leaving the company due to a clause in his contract relating to voluntary departure. However, Garriott later claimed that NCSoft had recharacterized his departure as voluntary and that the unlawful sale of his stock had cost him millions of dollars. NCSoft schemed to avoid its obligations to Richard at the trial court and on appeal, and neither the jury nor the Fifth Circuit bought any of it, said Stephen E. Fox, who's the attorney at Fish and Richardson, who is Garriott's lead counsel. Contracts have consequences, and as the Court of Appeals explained, the trial court is not a trial run. This has been a long fight, and we're very pleased with the court's decision. I'm still not sure what went on with him. I just know that it killed Tabula Rasa. He was one of the names all over it. And I wonder if this Tabula Rasa coin with his name on it is worth any money now. Should I put that up on eBay? It's still closed in a package in my purse. maybe I should try to sell it. Anybody think I should sell it? Did you think I should put it up on eBay?
Sorry, I was coughing.
I know you're coughing, baby. I know.
You're going to pay more in shipping than that thing's worth.
Depends on what I started out as. Anyway.
This is true. This is very true. I don't know. Were you talking about Tabula Rasa, the PC MMO game, the FPS?
Yeah, it was a FPS MMO hybrid.
I played it.
It was good. It was good.
Yeah, the beta? The beta was bad.
The beta was horrible. But the final product was very good. And I thought it was going to do well because it was something new. The first in its kind of what we're seeing a lot of now. I'm noticing we're seeing a lot of, you know, that's where we're getting APB from and Secret World.
Yeah, and I liked it. I played it. I played it a lot. I was a little bit upset when they closed it down.
Well, that's because Richard said, give me my money.
Yeah.
You got my money, man? You got my money.
You got my money. You got my. Give me my money. You gotta pay.
Oh, poor Ginger. Sidra doesn't sound sick, y'all. Doesn't she sound hot? If you're wondering why I'm on, you should be following us on Twitter during the day. You'd at least get part of the conversation, even if you couldn't listen. I know some of you listen late at night.
Yeah.
Is it my turn again, or is it your turn?
That
was a short one. I could go again.
No, it's my turn. It's my turn.
Fine, then. Be that way.
Totally going to be that way? Totally. Yeah. All right. GamePolitics.com. Because you all know I love this place. It's awesome stuff. Do you actually own your virtual property in your favorite online game?
Ooh.
Yeah. This is very dear to me.
Yes. To both of us.
Is virtual property found within games and often freely traded real legal property? One legal expert says absolutely not. Minneapolis lawyer Justin Kwong says those virtual baubles you spent real-world cash on are simply lines of code owned temporarily through a license. So he posits in the most recent issue of the William Mitchell Law Review.
That's a lie. That's a dirty, stinking lie.
Yeah, Mr. Kwong, who needs to be beat, says, just needs to be, like, have his computer taken away. At their core, virtual items are lines of software code that exist within larger computer programs. This is according to Kwong, of course, who also writes a blog called Virtual Navigator on legal issues in online worlds and social networks. Many scholars and authors have attempted to paint virtual items or virtual land as a new form of property. To date, no online environment has expressly acknowledged any such right to items within their world, and no U.S. court or legislator has recognized a right to virtual world assets.
He's lying.
I think so.
Because that whole virtual property thing has come up in Second Life, and one woman did manage to successfully sue and win, saying that the outfits that she created in Second Life were hers. Continue. I'm sorry. I had to interrupt.
No, make good point. Good point. Greg Lasalt. I'm going to kill your name, dude. And doesn't help that I'm sick. Greg Lasalka, a law professor at Rutgers University, points out that courts in other countries, such as South Korea, have begun treating virtual items as real property, and so they should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna knock.
Yeah, done. Piss the ginger off. She's coughing.
I know. She also notes that domain names are just lines of code too, and they've been regarded as property in U.S. courts.
Mm-hmm.
Your bank account is lines of code, he adds. But Lasalka also concedes that virtual items don't fit the traditional legal definition of real property, like a piece of land or personal property, and would be difficult to make an exclusive claim of ownership to an item created in an online game.
How? Oh, yeah. God. How old is this man?
I don't know. But they go on to say, but there's a lot of different ways you can have a property right, he said. I think we'll see a day, it might not be next year, it may be 5 or 10 years from now, where a court will recognize some form of virtual currency or virtual property as legal property. Kwong says that for now, when you purchase a virtual item in an online game, you're really buying a license, not a piece of property. Kwong compares the experience to the Mug Club at the Consented Cow, a pub in Northfield, Minnesota. For a fee, a bar patron can join a club that gives him or her the exclusive right to use a numbered mug. But he or she does not own it. The mug must stay in the pub. Virtual items are analogous to the mugs because they are created by software and cannot be moved outside of the realm for which they were created. Instead of trying to give status to legal property to virtual items, Kwong says he'd like to see more standardized language used on terms of service or terms of use agreements in online games.
Clearly, this man has not done his research. You can take items in Second Life outside because that's how people make them, to bring them inside. Clearly, if you write code in Second Life, it belongs to you. Linden Labs recognizes it as yours. So you haven't done your research, sir.
Yes, and we've actually seen court cases where people have stolen clothing inside Second Life, designs, and people have sued and said, hey, no, I can prove I created this. This is mine.
Because when you write code, people, Mr. whatever your name is, you can put in a little comment with your name that says, this is mine.
Yes.
You can't use it.
And there have actually been cases where consumers inside Second Life have sued creators who have ripped them off.
Yeah.
Or, say, landowners who rent them land inside Second Life.
I know I did.
Them off.
Mm-hmm. Even PayPal recognizes virtual property as real because I got ripped off and PayPal took my money back from him and put it back into my account. You don't know, Jack.
Oh. Yes. No, he doesn't. He's an idiot.
Quit talking.
Mm-hmm.
Wasting my time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, apparently a new company called Stealth has created a program called Next Door, which will make it easier for people to stalk you. No, you know, we always have to go to the bad side. We're extremists. Stealth is a startup company and has created Next Door. It believes that they have cracked the social local code and is today launching their digital platform that brings together your real-world neighbors. This is courtesy of the people over at VentureBeat. They're creating what they're calling the neighborhood graph by combining the best of Web 2.0 sites like Yelp and Facebook and the features of early web tools such as Craigslist and Yahoo groups to reconnect neighbors and reestablish a sense of community on and offline. Nextdoor has the look and feel of Facebook with an activity feed and tab navigation where you're able to look for a babysitter and check out recommendations left by your neighbors. Anyone who has used the internet during the last decade will feel right at home. Nextdoor has gone to great lengths to create an experience that is authentic and where trust and identity are the operative words. I don't know about that. this is the co-founder, Sid Nirav Tolia. He says there's four mechanisms for verifying your address, all of which inject significant friction into the sign-up process. He says you can request postcards and a unique code. Your home phone number attached to your home address can be called with a code. You can enter your credit card for or you can be invited by a verified neighbor. No. He says, of course, there's a real business model somewhere in all of this. It could be merchant services. It could be deals or something else. Though he wouldn't specify, he said that there's lots of potential opportunities around connecting businesses with customers who live and shop in the area once they've nailed the product and have grown the user base. He says, as they've done with everything else, we'll follow what the users asked for. It cost the company about $60,000 to buy the domain. Christ, woo. Said Tolia, but he thinks it's definitely worth it. He pointed out that all the most powerful tech companies that have two O's in the name, Facebook, Yahoo, Google, even Microsoft, are now Next Door, says Tolia. You know, there's already an app I have right on my Android right now that does something similar, and it's called Scavenger. And it doesn't link me to my neighbors, but neighborhood businesses, and it's a game. Has anybody played Scavenger before? I don't know why. Have you played it, Ginger, the scavenger game? No?
No.
Okay, well, the cool thing about the scavenger game is you get rewarded for going to visit neighborhood businesses. They'll give you, like, a free lunch at Chick-fil-A or something like that.
So it's, like, real.
Yeah. So I'm more inclined to do that than I am this because some of my neighbors on, you know, that are not directly on my street or within, you know, where I'm outside and look down, I really don't want to talk to them. I don't. And some of them are next door, as in behind me. They know who they are. I don't want to talk to them. I don't need them. And I'm not sure what information that they're broadcasting. I don't really need them having my phone number or anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know that this is the best idea. And I'll probably go over and take a look and see what all they're asking for. But be careful, people, if you sign up.
Yes. Be very careful.
even horses agreeing with, why the hell do I want to talk to my neighbors? Ginger!
Sorry, I was coughing.
Yeah.
Seriously, I've lived here 3 years, and I don't even know my neighbor's name.
Unless my neighbors have, you know, an Xbox and we want to get together and play, no, I really have no use for talking to them.
I've got drunk redneck son. I've got weirdos across the street, and then I've got the drunk rednecks behind us.
We got a weird mix here. We've got, you know, upscale professional, doctor, nurse, crackhead, nurse, doctor, instructor, college professor, crackhead. So no, I don't really want to talk to them.
Yeah, I'm afraid the people directly across from me are crackheads, but I don't know. there's a lot of police business that tends to go on over there.
Police business. We won't say what kind of business, but we like to point out.
But about every 2 or 3 months, there are about 5 or 6 sheriff cars that end up pulling up out there, lights on and everything else. I have no idea what's going on.
Very quote unquote busy over there.
Yes, very busy.
All right. Is it your turn?
No, it's my turn. All right. Oh my god,
let it out, girl. You know what, I forgot I was supposed to be talking about Metal Gear. I'm sorry, it's coming after Ginger, guys.
Okay. President Obama's political campaign pick riles activist groups. Environmental groups and open internet activists are not happy with President Barack Obama's pick to lead his 2012 political campaign.
Uh-oh.
That is probably because the president has picked a lobbyist that represented the NBC Universal Comcast merger and the Keystone XL pipeline. The lobbyist in question is Broderick Johnson of lobbying firm Brian Cave LLP.
No.
Yeah. According to the U.S. House of Representatives records, Johnson lobbied our elected officials to support submission of a presidential permit for Keystone XL pipeline in the final quarter of 2010. All right, who is this? President Obama ran for office in 2008, promising that the days of lobbyists setting the agenda in Washington were over, yet now he's hired a top oil pipeline lobbyist into his campaign. This is coming from Friends of Earth campaigner Kim Hune in a statement. All right, so what has this got to do with us? Johnson also pushed Comcast's plan to merge with NBC Universal at the Federal Communications Commission. Brian Cave, LLP, earned at least $440,000 in lobbying income from Comcast from 2009 to 2011, according to data from the Center of Responsive Politics. Johnson is listed on the House disclosure forms throughout that period. The Comcast merger was approved in early 2011, which we don't like. I hate you, Comcast. Later this year, Comcast hired FCC Commissioner Meredith Atwell Baker as the new Comcast Vice President for Government Affairs. Atwell strongly supported the merger. Yeah, I remember the whole deal about Baker because we were a little bit upset about that. That was kind of a hypocritical and, I just don't like that. While activists might be upset that Johnson is playing a key role in the president's reelection campaign, it should be noted that he worked for the campaign during the 2008 election and also served as the deputy assistant to the president for legislative affairs in the Clinton White House. I don't like this. The merger was horrible, that Baker went over and started working for Comcast after she was one of the ones that helped approve that whole merger, too.
Well, looks like I'm not voting this. That's what it looks like. Gosh, now I got nobody. Hillary? Hillary, do something.
Somebody do something. You know what? You should run for president.
Oh, no, we don't want me for president.
Oh, come on.
Games for everybody.
Yes.
You get a game break in the middle of the day. There's no lunch break. 3-hour game break, and then you can go back to work.
That's awesome.
Nothing would ever get done. Nobody would get arrested when they were supposed to. It would just be bad. That's one reason why I don't do nude photos. I may decide to run for president one day. Who knows? At least city council. I'm going to pass the first gaming ordinance. The very first gaming ordinance. We will game all day, every day.
Yay! I like that idea.
What about the city?
Voice president.
Look, what about city budget? Is there enough to buy games?
Every call, Barry. Forrest.
Shush. I told him Barry took a wrong turn at Albuquerque. Okay. So, peoples, lovely peoples that love them some Metal Gear Solid. Why am I sounding nasal? Did you stop it?
I don't know. And see, I was going to say my nose was fine, but then I just sniffled. So never mind.
Well, you lovely.
I wish this pulled on me.
Somebody did.
Evil.
Well, you Metal Gear Solid people will be happy to know there's an HD collection coming, but not soon enough. Konami Digital Entertainment, GmbH, today confirmed the release date of its eagerly awaited Metal Gear Solid HD collection. The package, which features five classic Metal Gear titles, will be released for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. Yes, I said Xbox 360. That's right. On February the 3rd, 2012, created by the critically acclaimed director Hideo Kojima. I love you, Hideo. Metal Gear Solid HD Collection showcases some of the most popular Metal Gear Solid titles in true HD for the first time. The compilation comprises five seminal games, including Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty. Terrible, horrible. Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, and Metal Gear Solid, Peace Walker in full HD. Also contains two games that started it all, Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2, Solid Snake. That's my favorite, Metal Gear 2, which originally released for MSX. good God, come on, more than 20 years ago. As such, Metal Gear Solid HD Collection offers old and new fans a chance to experience the epic gameplay, design, and storytelling of the NGS franchise. The Metal Gear and Metal Gear Solid series are the seminal work of Hideo Kojima, Japan's master game creator and the progenitor, good God, come on, of the stealth action game genre. Within the Metal Gear Solid HD Collection, users control a number of legendary characters from the Metal Gear Solid universe. Wow, what happened here? Who wrote this? Okay, let me skip down because that's a whole bunch of crazy there. Okay, so the Metal Gear Solid series, of course, is also known for its interlinked storylines, which blend seamlessly with the gameplay. The scenarios are based on extensive research and incorporate the drama of actual developments in society. These developments have made the series what it is today, a mature work of entertainment that transcends national borders and the confines of video games, and one of the leading products of the Japanese content business, with Metal Gear Solid HD Collection, a stunning celebration of one of gaming's true giants. Again, the Metal Gear Solid HD Collection will be released for both PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 on February the 3rd. I said that's a good Valentine's gift for your gamer, for the gamer girl in your life, specifically us. If you would like to go out and purchase a gift, we will be your Valentine for the Metal Gear Collection. I do not have any pricing. Don't ask. They didn't send it to me. You had to. I'll be your Valentine for Metal Gear. I gotta say, this has a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
I was very, very sick and bedridden when Metal Gear 2 came out. And one girl, I'm no longer friends with this girl because turns out she was crazy, but this is the one good thing she did in her life. I do. She was a good friend, but she really was a little off. But I was sick and bedridden. And when I say sick, I don't mean cold. I had a really bad sick, needed to be in the hospital. And she called and I was boohooing. Y'all know Corey didn't cry, but I was crying because I couldn't get up. Y'all know I was really that sick. I couldn't get up and move around. And a box arrived at my door the next day, this giant box. In that box was a brand new PlayStation and a copy of Metal Gear 2 and 30 other games. I don't know where she got them from, but I sat down and that's when I first played Metal Gear 2. And
oh, wow.
So that was a sweet thing to do, and but I couldn't do anything else but play. So that's why I have such love for Metal Gear. And for her, for that. Thank you, wherever you are, but I'm not speaking to you. Do not think this means call me because I don't want to talk to you. You are crazy. Thank you, but you are crazy. May you have your special place in heaven for doing a nice thing. But again, I stress, do not call me because you are crazy. Okay.
You are crazy.
She is. I'll tell you what happened when we get off the air. I'm not going to share this on the air. Really crazy.
Oh, wow.
Insanity.
All right, what have we got? Hypership Out of Control, iOS, free today. Fun Infused Games would like to announce that our title Hypership Out of Control for iPhone, iPod, and iPad will be available for the best price of all, free on 10/26 for one day only. That is today, people, just today. After that, it will return to the normal price of 99 cents. Fun Infused lead developer Chris Steele says everyone should have a chance to play the wonder that is Hypership Out of Control.
Maybe they meant change.
Maybe. I don't know. It's free now, so what's your excuse? Get it before the sale is over. Hypership Out of Control places you in an insanely fast spacecraft rocketing through space, accelerator pushed to the floor, and brakes gone the way of the dodo. Your goal is to survive as long as you can by dodging or destroying asteroids, space mines, and floating blocks that realistically have no business being in space. The longer you live, the higher your score, and the more bragging rights you will have thanks to Game Center support for leaderboards and achievements. All right, so what have we got? 4 unique game modes, plus forward and reverse for each. Game Center support for leaderboards and achievements. 6 hyperships to play as. Super retro graphic emulation. Asteroids as big as your head.
Really?
Yeah. All right, so I've got a trailer up on GameMatrix.com this morning. Head over there and check that out.
It's something wrong with y'all. Okay. It's something wrong with y'all on Twitter.
Going back on Twitter.
It's something wrong with y'all on Twitter. Okay, so, you people, I'm trying to breathe. Ginger, you are bringing this God unholy.
I know. It's been like a week that I've been fighting this. I don't feel bad. I just sound ridiculous.
Texas, pick a season, okay? Pick a season and stick with it.
No kidding. Yesterday it started off foggy, and then by noon it was hot, and then by the evening it was cold. It's like, oh, come on, people.
Yes.
Don't get sick. It's, everything's in blue. It's fall, and everything's just now blooming.
And the mosquitoes are just coming out. Oh, our seasons are screwed up.
One. Oh, God.
Yes. There's a shortage of off. So if you have off in your city and you'd like to make some extra cash, let me just tell you, we will pay whatever you want. Just send it all here, please. And we don't care what kind it is, the little fan, the tiki torch, just send it. All right, so those of you who are concerned about Christmas, and you should be getting ready for Christmas, may want to pay attention. If you're planning on getting one of those new Amazon Kindle Fires, well, they're selling like hotcakes. What is that expression anyway? Do hotcakes really sell like... Anyway, so Amazon Kindle's Fire is a new tablet capable of handling games, of course, has seen a massive interest from customers, leading the online retailer to up production of the device. In 3 weeks since the launch, orders for the electronic ink Kindles are double the previous launch. This is from CEO Jeff Bezos. He says, based on what we're seeing, Kindle Fire pre-orders, we're increasing capacity. I was so about to go Wisconsin, capacity, and building millions more than we'd already planned.
Thank you.
I don't know what I'm watching where I'm picking up that accent. The Kindle Fire, of course, will retail at about $199, along with three other versions of the e-reader. Amazon's financial results did show a decline in free cash flow, dropping from $1.83 million for the trailing 12 months and ending in September last. Ended September 3rd last year to their dropped to 1.53. God, who wrote this? And because that's short, I got a second one. And I want to keep an eye on these PayPal people because you know the fight is coming. Remember what we were talking about yesterday?
Oh, God, yeah.
This has nothing to do with it, but it's coming. Okay, so PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel has launched a new program called Breakout Labs that will fund early-stage science and technology research ideas, the entrepreneur said Tuesday during a speech at Stanford University. Breakout Labs will operate under Thiel's nonprofit organization, the Thiel Foundation, and will focus its investment efforts on research proposals that are either too early stage or radical to obtain funding from venture capital firms or grants. Breakout Labs will consider all types of scientific projects for support. Funding will range from $50,000 to $350,000 per proposal. Venture capital firms look for research that can be brought to the market within 5 to 7 years, and major funders like National Institutes of Health have a low tolerance for radical ideas, said Lindy Fishburne, who will serve as Breakout Labs Executive Director. At Breakout Labs, we're looking for ideas that are too ahead of their time for traditional funding sources, but represent the first step towards something that, if successful, would be groundbreaking. The Thiel Foundation said it's already evaluating proposals. Breakout Labs expects to announce the first awards by as early as December of this year. Why are we telling you this in gaming? Because some of you out there, somebody out there is sitting there with the next great controller or the next great console that's to shake these other three to their foundations. You can go and get that money and just do it. Just saying.
Just do it. Do it.
Just take the world by storm. Just go do it.
Yes.
This is a
Yes.
Even if they give you the $50,000, I'm guessing that'll be more than enough to get you going. And I like that PayPal, they're not actually stepping on toes like somebody's stepping on theirs, Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Facebook, you are all kinds of wrong.
That's going to cut.
Wrong. Yes, there's going to be cutting of epic proportions. I'm waiting. Got the popcorn sitting on the side. Ginger's going to pop it. And I'm going to throw the oil in when the fight starts. They're going to get cut.
It's going to be so awesome.
It's going to be a good fight.
Yes, it is. All right, what have I got?
Wait a minute, Horace, what is with this? We've been having a whole comic book thing going on Twitter the past few days. Scott Summers, really? Let me put on my Dark Phoenix costume. Wait a minute. Okay, no.
You got to do pictures?
No. I need my red wig first.
All right. Well, no shaving my head for it.
I'll shave mine. It's just hair.
Well, you know, because I got the pretty red hair at the moment.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Turn around, Ginger. Go ahead and read the news. Just turn around.
Ew, my hair. All right. I sound horrible. Moshi Monster Toys makes Dream Dozen.
No. No.
Million Moshlings to be sold by Christmas 2011. See, I'd much rather see these than those stupid Angry Birds. Selling almost 5,000 every day, Moshi Monster Toys have become the craze of the year. With an emphasis on collectability, the toy range is well on track to be this Christmas's Mosh Have. Oh, my God, really? Did y'all just go there?
They did.
All right. With sales anticipated to hit 20 million in the UK by Christmas 2011, the Moshlane population is set to outstrip that of New York. Revealed today as one of the toy retailer's top 12 toys for 2011, Moshi Monsters is predicted to be one of the best-selling toy brands this Christmas. This is coming from Stuart Grant from the Entertainer Store. Moshi Monsters has made a huge impact on the toy industry so far this year. We have seen such phenomenal sales this year to date, and are very excited about the new product launched for Christmas, including the Gold Tin Collection and the Moshling Treehouse featuring the ultra-rare Roxy. With over 50 million users worldwide, Moshi Monsters is one of the fastest-growing kids brands in the world. The brand appeals to both boys and girls on a variety of different levels. The website forms the hub of the brand and is orbited by physical products including toys, books, console games, and a best-selling magazine. All right, you know who I'm talking to. If you're listening, I know you collect these stupid little toys. Stop it.
Said the girl that plays with Miru's. Okay.
I only have one Miru.
That's one too many. As soon as I get a chance to get into Second Life and get my coding back on, I am going to be the first person to invent the death of Miru's. I kid you not. Those
haven't heard yet.
What? What happened?
You know the little baby that I beta tested?
Yeah.
They've taken that sort of code and put it in those really pretty ones. And now they're transferable.
Wait a minute. Who's taking what code? Is it Juicy? Wait, what?
Wait a minute. The AI code for the baby?
They put it in the Miru?
No. They put it in the pretty babies. I can't think of who they're through at the moment.
They updated their babies. That's what you're saying.
Yes. Another company is making them now inside Second Life.
Ooh.
With that code where you have to feed them and take care of them and everything. They're transferable. And if you have an older baby and you take it, you can get the upgraded one with the AI.
Get it.
You have one? No, you don't. You don't have it.
I don't. You have it. You beta tested it.
Well, no, this is through a different company.
Get it.
I can't.
I'm
going
to have to.
Yes, you can. Get it.
No, because then you're going to want to take it apart.
I'm not going to take it apart.
What was that voice? I don't believe you at all. I didn't take the other one apart. Not yours. Who is it? Maybe I was trying to take. I don't know who's baby. Yeah, look here. I'm telling you, Miru's are going down for real. Those I don't like. I can stand a baby, but the Miru's.
My Miru.
I took one apart. I couldn't get to his coat.
Aww.
I'll figure it out, or I'm going to figure out how to kill him. I'm kidding you not. It's going to be some poisonous food or something. I'm telling you, Miru people, as soon as I get the code down, dead Miru. Like, here, Miru, take this snack. Other people are like, what the hell's a Miru? See, if you played Second Life with us, you'd know. Mm-hmm. You know what? I got to play this song for Jake Dukes because it's Wednesday and we just really need him to tear up his office and it's time for us to take a break. Jake, go ahead. Move your stuff off your desk. Here it comes. Too bad. Did he smack somebody?
don't be smacking people. Don't be smacking people.
If you do, just don't. Make sure you don't blame us. We had nothing to do with it.
Wasn't us. We had nothing to do with it.
Okay, I'm seriously hungry. What is that about?
I don't know, but I just finished eating a granola bar, so I'm good.
I'm starving. Well, before we go off to the streaming land, I do have a bit of news I'm going to start to share with you, but it's going to cut off. So you guys know what you need to do. Go over to GamerGirlsRadio.com or GamerNatrix.com. They're on the front page. And listen to it streaming in about 15 minutes. But I do want to share this with you. Sony, according to GI.biz, is saying that the outage that they had has woken up their dormant customers. Did we not tell you there was going to be some type of positive outcome for this? I'm not so sure they didn't do this themselves, honestly. Sony executive Shiro Saida has spoken about the increased revenue the company has seen since the PS apocalypse back in April. Yes, that's our word for it. Our outage has woken up our dormant customers. We have improved the platform, the content, how you can access your content, is what he or she told TechRadar. Says we've increased the revenue of games by 14%, and we've acquired 800,000 active users for Music Unlimited. Five percent revenue for Video Unlimited, and we now have 3 million accounts for this service. He credited the welcome back package, which gave PSN users access to the choice of free games and films, with the rise in activity. Yes, I did go ahead and get me some Infamous, and it was good. Also, Little Big Planet. He also spoke about the efforts to prevent such a disruption to service in the future. He says we've put a various security issues in place, moved the data center, automated login can now be blocked, and we have a monitoring system so we can detect it much sooner. We also have the insurance scheme to protect those customers. Scheme, interesting word. We also notify customers if the password strength is not enough. Stop it, Ginger. He says we also pointed out that the company has been upfront about the issues, and this was the benefit of consumers. Sony has been attacked, but we've been upfront and honest and informed the world about what has happened. Network companies get hacked all the time, but do they make noise about it? This is happening all the time, and it happened to us. It's about educating consumers, making sure they have their ID protected. In September, Sony CEO Howard Stringer said the service was more secure than ever, and that it had gained 3 million new users since the hacks. I'm telling you, I'm wondering if they did this themselves. I'm wondering if they didn't use that downtime to completely reinvent PlayStation and then come back, you know, so that they wouldn't be bothered.
Maybe. It's a possibility.
I wish we could find us a contact in there that would be able to verify that for us, because yes. I'm starting to think they did. They just decided, you know what, we need to redo the PlayStation Network, and let's go ahead and say we were hacked and just take it offline. And then they'll have all the time in the world. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You have all the time in the world to rebuild and redo your network and garner a few new followers and put this service in place that can get them a little extra money, because, hey, we're offering you this extra protection if you go ahead and toss a few more dollars this way. So I'm wondering, Sony, did you do this? Did you do this and then blame some other people?
They might have. They might have. You never know.
Jay Duke said he flipped his desk over and set it on fire.
That's no good. That's no good at all. All right, what have I got? I've got Artifacts of Power. All right, Artifacts of Power DLC pack now available for Orcs Must Die.
Oh, yes. I love it. I'm liking that game.
Robot Entertainment has announced the release of the Artifacts of Power Steam DLC pack for their critically acclaimed action strategy game, Orcs Must Die. For a limited time, you can expand your War Mage's arsenal with 2 new weapons and 2 new traps for 20% off. Once downloaded, the Artifacts of Power will appear in your spellbook and can be used on any level in the game. With the Artifacts of Power in your spellbook, you'll be demolishing levels, beating your friends on the leaderboards, and most importantly, killing a bunch of orcs deader than dead. Vampire Gauntlets. All right, so what have we got? We've got Vampire Gauntlets. Armed with these Grim Gauntlets, you can drain the enemy's health while healing you at the same time. If you have a desperate need to use spells, you can also use the Gauntlets to drain your health in exchange for mana. Alchemist Satchel, toss a series of deadly acid bombs that explode on your command to melt flesh from the bones of multiple groups of orcs at once. The Shock Zapper, that sounds fun. Mount the Shock Zapper on the ceiling and zap flyers and ground units equally dead. Hold on. Mount the Shock Zapper on the ceiling and zap flyers and ground units equally dead with this oversized pest remover. Floor Scorcher. By the time they see the fire, it'll be too late. Burn entire groups of complacent enemies with this pop-up flaming surprise. And you've got new trap upgrades. You've got 2 new reasons to go back and earn those 5 skull ratings on War Mage and Nightmare levels. With the Artifacts of Power Pack, you can now spend skulls on new upgrades for Shock Zapper and Floor Scorcher. Orcs Must Die is an action strategy game that challenges players to defend fortresses under siege. With a wide variety of traps and weapons to choose from, Orcs Must Die dares players to find the best ways to hack, launch, flatten, gibletize, and incinerate an endless army of filthy orcs and their vile allies.
I love it.
Yes, Orcs Must Die features a vibrant look, addictive gameplay, and a blatant disregard for the welfare of orcs. Orc Messiah is rated T by the ESRB and will be available exclusively as a digital download. All right, so if you want more information, I've got it all up on GameNatrix.com. Go over and check it out.
Well, you Dungeon Siege fans will be happy. Dungeon Siege 3, Treasures of the Sun downloadable content is now available. Those lovely people over at Square Enix, who's a publisher of Square Enix Interactive Entertainment products here in the Americas. I love how they call us the Americas.
The Americas, yay!
The Americas. Today they've announced Dungeon Siege 3, Treasures of the Sun, and is now available in North America for PlayStation 3 Entertainment System and Xbox 360 Video Game and Entertainment System from Microsoft and Windows PC platforms. GameStop PC download, Steam, where do you want it, is what they're saying. Okay, so... That could be taken all kinds of wrong. Dungeon Siege 3 extends the journey. The DLC, or rather, Treasures of the Sun, extends the journey beyond the borders of EHB to an all-new environment, the Aranoi Desert. On their search for a lost Legion hero, players will fight through hordes of new villains only to find a forgotten abbey hiding a long-lost secret, the greatest treasure of the Azunite faith. I needed some music for that. Okay, so further supporting the hours of new content in the expansion, developer Obsidian Entertainment has introduced several refinements to the systems and mechanics of Dungeon Siege 3. So you have some new abilities. You're now able to attain the mastery of the arcane through powerful new attack, defense, and healing abilities. You can level up to 35. That's their new level cap, from 30 to 35. Players will also encounter new monsters in the Aranoi Desert, including mummies and giant skeletons, and will find more powerful items, adding to the thousands already available in Dungeon Siege 3. Players can also reallocate all their points spent in proficiencies and talents, enabling changes to character customization through the campaign. That sounds nice.
It does.
You can also transmute items.
Yay!
Well, actually, you could before. It looks like new transmuting. It now gives you a chance to gain a new powerful vial that will allow you to enhance your weapons and armor through the DLC's enchanting system. Again, Dungeon Siege 3, Treasures of the Sun is available at a cost of just 800 Microsoft points via Xbox Live Marketplace for the Xbox 360, $9.99 on the PlayStation Network, and on the Windows PC platforms. Players, you must be aware you must already own Dungeon Siege 3 in order to download and play Dungeon Siege 3, Treasures of the Sun. You can pop over if you want to check it out. You can pop over to our site if you like and check out some screenshots, blah, 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 all that good stuff. Or if you're ready to buy, go on over to DungeonSiege.com, pick you up a copy. They also have a Facebook. Dungeon Siege 3 is their Facebook. I am curious enough to check this out.
Yeah?
I am curious enough to check this out, although I'm kind of getting tired of the whole orc troll sword thing. I'm really moving towards the secret world and the APB and the Fallen Earth.
I'm going to play that.
Which one? Secret World?
Yes.
Secret World does look amazing. I forgot to post my Illuminati picture yesterday. I was in the kitchen and I was practicing my new Illuminati gang sign, and then I got to making a sandwich and I forgot all about it. But today, my Illuminati.
That sounds awesome. Gotta see it. You're hilarious. All right, what have I got? Oh, I've got a good deed. That's what I've got.
A good deed?
Mm-hmm. Not us, somebody else. Popular iPhone app says, popular iPhone app Say What You See raises £21,000 Linden francs, whatever the little elf line is, for Grace's fund, enabling 5-year-old Grace to walk for the first time.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Say What You See, the collection, the hugely popular iPhone game, announced that their special charity update in aid of Grace's spastic diplegic cerebral palsy has raised over £21,000. Or euros, when combined with the 22,000 euros already raised by Grace's fund, is enough to send her to the USA to receive the operation she so desperately needs.
Wait, okay, this is real or weird?
This is real.
Oh, fantastic. I wasn't sure if it was part of a game plot, which was still good in itself. But that's
nice. Yeah, no, it's real. In 2006, Grace Windrum was born 2 months prematurely. Her illness affects the tone in her legs and arms and her core muscles, affecting her muscle control and balance, her muscles in her mouth and her tongue. Today in the UK, Grace can't walk, but she's been accepted for an operation in the U.S. St. Louis's Children's Hospital. The operation is called selective dorsal rhizotomy, and it would remove the tightness in her legs, meaning that with intensive physiotherapy, she'll be able to learn to walk. Grace's parents, Gavin and Helen Windrum, were initially aiming to raise £50,000 for the operation. Grace's fund is being run by the Tree of Hope Children's Charity. All the proceeds of this fund will go towards the operation and her subsequent physiotherapy, equipment, and treatment. Touched by Grace's story, app company Big Ideas Digital created a special Say What You See canvas just for Grace, Grace's Tunes. Launched on the 1st of September, saw players trying to spot and unravel 50 well-known cartoon names in a Roadrunner-esque backdrop. Players in the game managed to raise $21,000 in less than 8 weeks for Grace's funds. Helen Windrum, Grace's mother, says, "We will be eternally grateful for the generous support of the Big Ideas, that Big Ideas has given Grace's fund. Thanks to Big Ideas Digital, Grace can begin her journey to a better life." Of course, this is not the end for Grace's fund. Gavin and Helen will continue to raise funds to help with the extensive amount of aftercare she'll need in the following weeks, months, and years. On a return from the USA, we will continue the fundraise for the large ongoing costs. This includes intensive private physiotherapy equipment, return follow-up visit to the USA, and any other treatments for Grace. This is awesome, people. This is great. Y'all play a game. Y'all bought a game, downloaded a game, and it goes to help this little girl be able to walk and hopefully live somewhat a better life. You know, this is beautiful. I love this. I love you gamers. Y'all are so awesome.
It's a love fest today. It's all about that.
I just want to, like, huggle and kiss all of y'all. Yeah. Well, maybe not you over there, but yeah.
No. Well, I'm wondering if I should try to throw another one in here because we've got about 3 minutes.
We don't have a lot of time left.
Maybe I can throw this one in there. It's really quick. It's about the iPhone 4S.
Okay.
Let me see. I'll hit some high points here. Okay, so apparently Sprint is reporting some losses. But the losses have Wall Street a little bit baffled because the iPhone 4S launch is its best ever. Third place U.S. carrier Sprint reported losses of $301 million for the third quarter. God, on $8.3 billion in revenue, but that was about half of what Wall Street expected the company to lose. Additionally, the company confirmed that the iPhone 4S launch on October 14th, which doesn't count toward its third quarter, unfortunately, was the best ever day of sales. Sprint added 1.3 million subscribers during the quarter, consisting of 485,000 prepaid subscribers and 304 more lucrative postpaid contracted customers. The company also reported wholesale and affiliate subscriptions of 835,000. Overall, Sprint had 53 million subscribers at the end of the quarter and 32.9 million of which were postpaid. I didn't even know they had a prepaid thing. You probably want to tell people about that, Sprint. I may have come over and picked up an iPhone. You just never know. The carrier reported $6.8 billion in wireless revenue, up 7% from last year. Sprint says it now has $4 billion in cash equivalents, and short-term investments on hand.
That's hot.
That is, along with $1 billion not yet drawn from its revolving bank credit facility. Good God, you got money. I need to go shopping, Sprint. Can y'all help me out? Speaking about the iPhone 4S's launch, the first iPhone launch on the carrier, CEO Dan Hess said, and this is transcribed by ZDNet, he said, "Our early results of selling the iPhone 4 and iPhone 4S have confirmed that the ZDNet, y'all need to do a better job of translating, confirmed the iPhone's ability to attract new customers. What one hopes to see from the device is a high percentage of gross adds, new customers, and the revenue to Sprint. The time we have been selling this device is very short. The early results indicate the iPhone is breaking the previous Sprint record held by the Evo in terms of a percentage of device buyers who are gross adds or new to Sprint in weeks following the launch. We believe 2 weeks in the March is who wrote this? To consistently estimate gross ad percentages, but we plan to provide you with an estimate after the full fourth quarter results are in, which will be probably early first 2 weeks of January. But early indications are extremely encouraging." I managed to finish that with a minute left on the clock.
Yay.
So congratulations or not, Sprint. I don't really know. Wow. I got to say, Sprint, you probably need to let people know. I didn't know they had a prepaid service. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason why I don't go to AT&T will never get me back, not ever.
God, no. Screw you, AT&T.
Y'all would have to give me a free phone and 6 months of free service I mean, completely free, not this crap y'all like to do. It's free. Well, actually, it's free as long as you stay under this amount. No. I mean, you'd have to offer an epic deal. I just don't think you are, so I'm staying where I am.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Sprint, let me know. I might have picked up an iPhone just, you know, just to say I had one or see if I like it, which I don't think I will. But anyway. Anyway, people, that's going to do it for us today. We're going to let our sick ginger go get her some rest. She's not going to rest. I don't know why I'm saying that. She's not going to rest.
No, I got news to post.
She won't rest. And we'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow. You get us twice tomorrow. And remember, you got, just a little over a week and a half before Pixinista debuts.
Pixinista! Yay!
Pixinista. Just a little over a week Tuesday. We haven't even picked a time yet, if y'all would believe that. We're just excited that we're doing it. We have not picked a time. We'll have one for you.
Just tell me when to show up. I'll be here.
Yeah.
Tell me.
She sounds like me. Just tell me when I need to be there. I don't need you to ask me any questions. I'll show up. Just say when. So,
just say when.
Yes. So we will see you guys. Wait a minute. I got something I forgot to do. Okay, anyway. And make sure you check out the review for War of the Worlds. And then pop on over and buy a copy. Download to play for fun. Or at least save it for Halloween or something. It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good. And we'll see you guys mañana.
Later, boys and girls.
I sure do wish I had some music to play. GLaDOS.
Come on, GLaDOS.
Look, she does not want to play.
GLaDOS, you're so...
This is her song. GLaDOS. It's her song. She doesn't want to sing. Sing for us, GLaDOS.
Oh, there we go.
Well, here we are again. It's always such a pleasure. Remember when you tried to kill me twice? Oh, how we laughed and laughed, except I wasn't laughing. Under the circumstances, I've been shockingly nice. You want your freedom taken. That's what I'm counting on. I used to want you dead, but now I only want you gone. She was a lot like you. Maybe not quite as heavy. Now little Carolyn is...
Ginger.
Later, boys and girls.